knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, which rests on the hope of eternal life. God, who never lies, has promised us this before time began. So even before time began, he was making plans for us. And when that says, a hope which rests on hope of eternal life, if you've received Jesus, your eternal life has already started. I don't want you waiting for heaven. Your eternal life has already started, and so have the rights and privileges of children of God. So I shouldn't have to wait for heaven to find peace. Now, listen, when we get there, it's going to be a different level. Thank you, Jesus. Different level, because there ain't no devil. But until we get there, we are still people who are in eternal life already. So I have those rights and those benefits. And I just want to ask you something. Does anybody know what it means about, if you heard, I need to call a bail bondsman? What does that term mean? Get you out of jail? Yeah, everybody's scared to tell me they know what it means. Is that what it is? Come and get me. Okay, so why would I need a bail bondsman? You're in trouble, and they come and they bail you out. And how do they bail you out? Money. Well, this actual word, God's willing slave, actually means, I put for you guys on your notes, you've got at the bottom, I went ahead and put the footnotes from just this verses 1 through 2 are at the bottom. And I did it because I want you to understand, sometimes if you don't understand something that you're reading, if you have footnotes, if you'll go to the bottom, it'll correlate with the chapter and verse. So on this one it says a bondservant. And so sometimes that may seem a little different, but what it really means is someone that the price has been paid for. You deserved something, and the price has been paid for you. That's why I wanted you to correlate. You understand bail bondsman, so now do you understand bondservant? And there were, in American history, there were times when people still coming from England that had the debtor's prison, when you owed a debt, people would literally sell their children sometimes into slavery, and it didn't matter what color you were, and they would sell their children into slavery to pay their debts. And so even some of the old movies that tell that time, you'll see women who were sold as bond slaves or bond servants. But he says he's a bond servant to Jesus. Why? Because he paid that debt that we owed. And so he's not a slave to him because a price has been paid. He's a slave to him because he loves him for the fact that he paid the price. So today I want to talk to you about Titus and how this worked. So let me just explain to you that Titus, sometimes we're all servants of the Lord in here, and servants are always going to be sent. Every day when you get up, there's something that God has planned for you to do that you're going to bring life to someone around you. And every day when you get up, the enemy has planned snares to keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to do. But you've already started eternal life. So you can just hook into those good things of God and you can overcome it. So let me just briefly explain about Titus. He was likely a convert of Paul's. We know from Galatians 2:20 that he was not a Jew. We'll get to that in a little bit. He was actually a Greek, and he was from the Isle of Crete. And you have to remember that Crete and the Greeks are where all the mythology started. And on the island of Crete, there's a big mountain called Ida. And there, the Greek mythology actually tells us that's where Zeus, the god Zeus, was born. So you see, they were steeped in all this stuff. He was steeped in that, and yet he heard the message of the good news, and we believe it was through Paul, and he believed. He traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys, except one time when Paul couldn't find him, and that's because he had gone back to Corinth. And we know that there was something called the Jerusalem Council. You can find that in Acts 15. And in Acts 15, what happened was they would meet together and debate some of the things that were going on that people believed in that were like old laws. And so Titus goes with Paul to this meeting, and they're discussing. Now remember, Titus is already saved, but the discussion topic for the day is, should non-Jews have to be circumcised to have salvation? Yeah. So Titus is going there like, yikes, okay, like this could go either way for me. But he goes in, and then James gets up and he makes this speech. You can read this in Acts 15. And basically he's like, that's not the Lord's desire. That's not the Lord's heart. And when I say what's on your heart, really that is your desire, because the desires come from our hearts. That's why Jeremiah tells us to be careful with them, because we can be led by wicked things. But Bryce Daniel is not going to be led by that, because we have prayed over him already. And I'm praying all them little young women soft when they see his cute face too. I'm just, boy, don't think I'm not praying them prayers. Y'all, we need to be praying up in here for these people that ain't nobody going to lay traps for our babies. I'm sorry, Bryce. You're not a baby. You're a young man. But you'll always be my baby. Okay. So here he was. So what's happening when they have this council, though, there's a lot of things that were laws. And you know that Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So now the requirements of the law are fulfilled through him. I can only be good through him. He alone helps me escape temptation. That's what he's talking about. But what you have to realize was there were a lot of things that the law required, like washing your hands. Like you had to keep your hands clean and couldn't touch certain things, and certain things were certain foods. And so what was a law then eventually became tradition, and we still have the same tradition. Isn't it amazing? It always amazes me that science comes up with things that God said about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat, and about washing your hands and unclean things, and to keep your feet washed, and all the science has proven. If you go, diets are written based on the Bible now about healthy eating. Well, guys, they didn't have all these tests, but they did have the Word of God. So I believe that some traditions are good, as long as we remember that's not my salvation, isn't based on that. Because if it was, we'd all be in trouble, because we say our blessing before we eat, and the actual Jewish custom was to say your blessing when you finish, to thank him for a full stomach. Now, I wouldn't have, you know, sometimes I wouldn't finish and say thank you that I'm a fourth away full, but, you know, they were grateful for what they had. So they went in and found out that they didn't have to do that. We know that Paul also, from 2 Corinthians 6, he actually sent Titus ahead, and he helped to raise money for the widows and the people in Jerusalem that were in need. We know that he sent him to Corinth, and we, if you remember, we went through Corinthians. That church had issues. We all do, because churches are made of people. But he sent him there. They had some real issues. But when he went to Corinth, that's where Titus hand-delivered Paul 2 Corinthians, the book that I guess he had recorded for him and transcribed. That's why I believe Paul wrote it, but anyway. And then we know that he went back to Crete, and you got to remember, Titus was from Crete, and in the actual history, it's proven out. You know, what was a tribe that gave the Israelites so much trouble? Goliath and the Philistines, always. You know, you uncircumcised Philistine dog and all that stuff they said. Well, it's actually, history's proven that the Philistines came from the Isle of Crete, okay? So this was a rough place, and we've already established they believed in mythology. So he sends him back to Crete. So he's dealt with Corinth. He's, you know, asking for money. Nobody likes that. He's gone back to Crete now for, you know, these crazy Philistines. Then he sends him to Dalmatia, not Dalmatians, but Dalmatia. It's almost the same. And we know that that was a rough area where he sent him. And today, Dalmatia would actually be like Yugoslavia. So that's Serbia or Bosnia or Montenegro, or now it's six different republics, but come on, Bosnia, Serbia, those are rough areas. So that's where he was sent. So sometimes when we're sent, we're not just sent out, you know, like, oh, the Lord's sending me to the grocery store. I'm going to bless someone today. It's like the Lord's going to put you through something, and by our actions, we're not just going to speak the word, but we're going to live the word to somebody to present who he is to them. So servants are sent. Sometimes they're sent to rough places. We know from 2 Corinthians 8:23 that Titus, he says, was my partner and my fellow worker. And as servants, that's who we are with the Lord. We are his fellow workers. I just think it's amazing that God would even want to, I don't even like to use the word partner, because really it's all him, right? I'm just the vessel. So servants are sent to tough places, but they're also sent to tell the good news. I want to read to you from Acts 18:9. This is Acts 18:9, and of course I am reading from the Passion Translation, and Lauren had asked me before service if you can purchase this, and I really don't know if the book's available yet. I get mine offline off the BibleGateway.com, and but I like this because even in the footnotes, they're bringing it, they're explaining the Greek or the Hebrew. Right now, we only have Proverbs, Psalms, and the New Testament, but there you go. Let me just stop here and ask you, is it bothering anybody that this mic cuts in and out? Dean Myers and Deja, okay. I got a couple that it bothers. Is it because your names start with D? I'm just curious, Dean and Deja. Does it? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so anyway, I don't know if it's printed yet, but I like this version. I'll read it to you. It says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a supernatural vision. Now, who's the Lord? Who's speaking to Paul? Jesus. Ooh, say it together. Jesus. Yes. So the Lord spoke to Paul in a supernatural vision, and he said, don't ever be afraid. Speak the words, that's important. This is important. Speak the words that I give you and don't be intimidated because I'm with you and no one will be able to hurt you for there are many in this city whom I call my own. For the next year and a half, Paul stayed in Corinth, faithfully teaching the word of God. Now, during Paul's journeys, I want you to remember this too. He was in prison. The first time he was in prison, sometimes he went in, they'd let him right out because he had claimed his rights as a citizen with multi-dual citizenship. But when he was in prison, we know that he was falsely imprisoned one time and the angels came and, you know, set him free. And but there was another time that he was in prison for like this. Thank you, Dean. I don't want you to be upset. You are Deja. It's done. Delivered. Definitely. I'll keep so for a year and a half, but when he went into prison, sometimes it could have meant house arrest. And basically, he was under a guard 24/7, but it wasn't like a dungeon prison. But later, remember we talked about Caesar Nero? I like my term for him is whack job. Yeah? So that whack job, he put him in a terrible, dark, dank dungeon. There's some D's for you. But yes. And so, but now people are coming and going. They can visit him, okay? So in some of these situations, that's why you'll read, while I was in prison, they came to me and ministered to me. It's because it was more like house arrest, okay? So sometimes, but the word I want you to key in on is to speak the words. Now, God himself, when he created the world, did it say he thought it into existence? He spoke it. That's right. So there's something powerful when we use the breath. Our breath is the breath of God. I'm either speaking blessings or cursing. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And let me just say, you can pronounce it over yourself just as much as an enemy. So we need to be careful of the things that we're speaking. I remember Vanessa Smith. Some of you may have heard me tell this before, but it was just crazy to me that she was at Walmart one time and these people were bugging her and she just, all she could think of, she said, Lord, just send a swarm of bees on them. And out of nowhere, here these bees came. And she was so stunned, she couldn't move, and so she was impacted by the swarm as well. And she said, all I could do was just, I was so, and I just think sometimes we, you know, you think you're hoping and wishing, but we are really getting in agreement with God, or we're in agreement with the enemy. So when he says, I want you to speak the words that I give you and don't be intimidated, we're here to tell the good news and not to be intimidated. And Titus was not intimidated because he went and did these things. I think this one's worse. They're going to make me start using that little fancy one that I don't like, but that's okay, Dean. I'm going to do it for you next week. I'm on it for you because I love you and Deja, definitely. So he sent. Now, the other thing is we're sent to tough places. We're sent to tell the good news, and we're sent to testify. Because when you testify about what God's done for you, that's something nobody else can deny it, okay? You can say there is no God, but I'm telling you, if somebody says there is a God, and here's what he's done for me, people can't disprove that, and they can't take that away from you. So just because you haven't seen something before doesn't mean that you won't see it, okay? So as servants, he's leading us to, now we're going to be seeing some things that we haven't seen before, because as we're sent, we're going to be seeing. So here's some common grounds that we battle, like with Titus. Here's some things that I see that we're like. Because he's young, you know he felt inadequate. And here's Paul, who had been taught by Gamaliel, and, you know, he was at the time, you know, Socrates and all these wise men, and he was available to all that teaching. That's why he was able to convince men with his words, because he could speak from wherever angle they were coming at. Our mission, though, and Titus found this out, is not to convince people, but it's that the power of God might speak through us, and that the Spirit will do with our words when I'm speaking what he says. It'll do what I don't even understand. Things are going to happen when you just begin to speak life over other people. It's amazing. The other day, Eli and I, he wanted to go to Waffle House for breakfast. He loves Waffle House breakfast because I let him get the big meal with everything in the waffle, and he can eat it all, and he thinks that's great because I don't make him order off a kid's menu. So we went to Waffle House, and normally, you all know, I've got this one little waitress. I've just loved on her and loved on her, and she's just different. I mean, she just hey, and we all know each other by name, and it's just wonderful. Well, she wasn't there, and I got a different waitress. Well, I had a little box of candy to give Miss Rita. So I'm sitting there, and I had a little coupon for a free waffle, and I was like, but it was the only little piece of paper I had. Can you believe it? God's funny. So I thought, you know, I'm going to give this back to her. I won't redeem it. So I wrote on the back a little note. And the only thing that just kept coming to me was, you know, I hope that this day holds good things for you. That's all that I could get. So I was like, whatever, that's so general, but I'll write it. So I'm writing it, you know, and I'm going to give her a good tip and everything, you know, and I'm writing it. She's already said she's been on shift 12 hours because somebody didn't show. So I'm like, okay. And she was very nice. So I wrote this little thing. And as I'm finishing writing, you know, hope the day holds good things for you. Right after I finished writing that part, it was like, because God is going to hold you. And I was like, oh, God, that's good. You know, it's like, I couldn't come up with that. But what I'm finding with him, like Titus is finding, when you just do what he tells you, and he'll give you the rest of it just when you need it. But he's not going to tell you the whole thing till you just walk the first part in obedience. A lot of times you don't see it, right? But you will. So I'm sure that Titus felt really inadequate. He's new at this. He doesn't know the words. He wasn't with Jesus. And here Paul's met with the disciples. He knows everything firsthand. And he also, I wonder if he felt kind of picked on. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that. But let me ask you this. If you have a boss and he keeps giving you the hardest jobs, do you ever feel like you're being picked on? Yeah. When I was home, I worked at the store. I worked at the house. You know, I had to do whatever. And I felt cheated because my sisters didn't have to work at the store. Now I'm so grateful because I know so much more about how to take care of things. You know, no reflection on Steve. His dad never taught him a thing. But because my dad taught me, we were able to, you know, work things out. And so I was grateful for that. But I didn't understand it. And I remember when Charity was in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, she came home one day in the sixth grade, she said, "I'm just done. I'm doing something wrong." I was like, "What is it?" She goes, "Every year they sit the bad kids with me. Every year they don't like me, and I just can't take it anymore." I was like, "Charity." And she's like, "Mom, really?" Well, of course, this was all at the same school. So I said, "Well, let's just figure this out." So I went down and met with her homeroom teacher. I was like, "I think we, you know, they have a group of teachers, team teaching." I said, "I think we've got a problem." And so I shared Charity's feelings, and they're all just smiling. And so the lead teacher goes, "Charity, that's happening to you because we know that you're going to help them, and the bad kid is going to excel because you're with them. It's because you're good." And she said, "But you're punishing me for being good." And the teacher's like, "We never thought about it. You just were always doing it." And she goes, "Well, I'm tired of it. And this one smells really bad." It was like, okay. So once they explained it, she came home. I was like, "So now how do you see it?" She goes, "Different, but somebody should have told me, Mom." Well, you know, think about this. He's sending him to these tough places. Maybe he felt picked on. Hey, why didn't Timothy have to do this? Because we know that he went to Corinth the first time, but there was a second time when Paul goes looking for him, can't find him, and so he goes on to Macedonia because he was counting on Titus to be like an encourager to him. Right? He counted another to be encouragers. Don't have a heart attack on me because I'm going to come back there and lay hands on you suddenly, and you will be healed. Amen. So he goes in, and I think that sometimes we do that. We feel, you know, like we're being picked on. And sometimes I think that we're afraid, you know. He sent him to these places he didn't know, and he may have said, "Okay, I'm going." But if Jesus had to tell Paul not to be intimidated, and here he was with all this wisdom and knowledge, don't you think that would be a little intimidating? And God is speaking to him, "Don't be intimidated." It's because there's a reason. He does know what's in our hearts. But those are all me thoughts. He wants us to walk in he thoughts. Because if I feel inadequate, I'm in a good place. You know why? You can read it on your notes. Just move across the aisle. Because I'm going to be dependent on God. And sometimes the only time I can teach the little bitties to swim is when I make them let go of the side of the pool or wherever we are, the lake. Come away from that tree branch and let go. And then you become dependent on what you've learned. And the more you push away, not only am I more dependent on God, but I learn His faithfulness more and more, which leads me to the second thing. And if I feel picked on, pretty soon I'm going, "Man, I'm grateful, God, you could trust me with that." Now, hear me out. It may take me 2 or 3 days to get to, "I'm grateful you could trust me." But at the end of me, when I start thinking the way He sees it and He's thinking, I'm thinking, "God, you know, thank you that you knew you could trust me with that." So when we're afraid, we also have to learn to be confident. And the enemy always has the exact opposite of what God intends. And he plants these subliminal thoughts in you to undermine whatever God's doing so that we, instead of thinking, "Oh, he trusts me," like Charity, "Why is he picking on me? I'm the bad one. He always sends me to these stinky places and I don't want to deal with this stuff." Or, you know, "Why is he putting me out here and nobody else is with me? Why did..." But it's because we're learning something. So let me just reread to you that scripture of what the Lord had to tell Paul out of Acts 18. "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a supernatural vision and said, 'Don't ever be afraid.'" Because why? Because I'm going to be. Don't ever be afraid. The words that I give you, speak them, and don't be intimidated. That is the enemy's tactic. Because I'm with you, no one will be able to hurt you, for there are many in this city whom I call my own. God's always going to have somebody. And can I just tell you, God used people that weren't godly to help me before, to raise up and help me. I was traveling one time, and there was no place to stop at this little truck stop, and I had to stop there. And Steve had already said, Gay, don't stop at these, always stop at the, you know, like, it's going to have to happen. The car's empty. I know the next, you know, I got to have to stop here. So I go in, and for those of you who saw my picture on Facebook, Michael, it was so embarrassing, my husband put on Facebook, I was a petite little thing. And I would have to drive home by myself because Steve worked nights and he went to school during the day. So on the weekends, he still had to work. But I wanted to see my mom, so I stopped at this truck stop and I went in and I got a cup of coffee and I was just like, let me just get my gasoline, use the bathroom, I hit the road, right? So sure enough, this man, he goes, hey, little girl, you traveling alone? You know, and I looked like I was 12. And I was like, and so, you know, I'm like, got my ring up, you know, mom. You know, well, actually, you know, so whatever lie I told him, because that's definitely what I did. And so this other guy comes up behind me, and he said, you know what? He said, you just look so cute. He said, you remind me of my daughter. How about I just walk you out to your car? And I just went, oh, thank God. So when we get around the corner, I was like, thank you so much. And he goes, listen, honey. He goes, you don't need to stop at truck stops. I said, my husband already told me that, but the car was empty, and I know I had 70 more miles for it. And he's like, well, he said, I just want you to know. He said, I don't believe in that God thing, but I could see you were in trouble, and I'd want somebody to help my daughter. And I said, well, you may not believe in him, but I think he believes in you. And that man in that truck, it was snowy and slushy and icy. That man, when we got ready to go, he goes, I tell you what, you stay behind me and I'll clear that slush for you. And he goes, you just keep your windshields going. And he said, when it's okay for you to go around, I'll stick my hand out and wave you around so you'll know that the road's clear. And you know, you think about things like that, God is always going to have somebody there to either give you a word of encouragement or to do for you. And they won't even understand it. But the Bible is clear. God's not limited. Okay? Remember the donkey. We won't even go there. So my testimony is based on the power of Jesus working through me and not through my inabilities and my insecurities. And that's where the enemy wants you to stop with your thinking. So here's the thing. In all of this morning, I was driving, I was thinking about, you know, Lord, we just relate so much to this, but we have to grow into becoming these people who don't just mature because of age, but we mature because of experience, right? And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, you know, I just was thinking, you know, Lord, I guess I've seen, you know, a lot, haven't I? Truth. So I'm driving, I've just picked up the Panera, I'm driving back south on, you know, Denton Highway, and I'm about to get to, where Harvest Baptist is, you know, where everybody's turning off there, can't think of the name of it. What is it? Hightower? You're so cute. We liked you being baptized Sunday. Anyway, so I'm about ready to get over there, and I'm just telling him, you know, Lord, I've just seen so much, you know, I'm so grateful, like I'm being grateful, I'm not being haughty, and there's a peacock beside me. And I looked over and I was like, I'm not seeing that. And I looked again, and I'm not kidding, I'm stopped, he walks out, he goes in front of my car, he goes back to the curb and just looked at me. And I was like, am I seeing that? And the sun hit him, and he was blue, and he turned around. That beautiful tail was there, and he just walked back off down into the ditch. And I was like, well, I guess I hadn't seen everything. And I just felt like it was just the Lord saying, and I did hear him say this, just because you haven't seen something before doesn't mean you won't. Guys, I'm telling you, I felt like the Lord was speaking that word for all of you tonight. Just because you haven't seen something before doesn't mean you won't see things that you've never seen before. In fact, I feel like that's a common bond we're going to have as we study Titus. You're going to be seeing some things you've never seen before, because you're a group of people who want to know the Word, who want to live by the Word. You don't want to be afraid. You don't want to be intimidated. You're here because you want the Word. We want these things out of our life. I want to be grateful instead of worried. And here's the thing about it. The good news is that God never lies. And here's the thing. That was in your text. It's on your notes. God never lies. But there's three things that will keep us from being in agreement with that. Don't make it pretty. The Lord's always telling me, don't try to make your sin pretty to me. Okay? Because when you fear the devil more than you trust God, you won't believe what God says. Well, you know, I just, Lord, you understand. And this is how he talks to me. Steve says he does not talk to him this way. But he talks to me this way. And I was like, you know, God, I just, you know, whatever. But he'll say to me, Gay, it's not that you just had a little trouble trusting. You just call me a liar. I'm like, no, I did not. I argued with my parents too, but only in my bedroom because my dad would have worn me out. But I say to him out loud, I was like, I don't do that. And he's like, yes, you did. If I said I'll never leave you or forsake you, you didn't want to do that because you were afraid you were going to go it alone, weren't you? And I'm like, well, what can you say? I did. I called you a liar. I said what you could do, you couldn't, right? I see that in fear. And not just in fear, but I see that in me when I have mistrust. When have I ever not been able to trust God? And yet, here's what it comes down to, control. I just don't want to. God, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to, I just don't want to do it. And he's like, am I a liar? I'm like, I didn't say you were a liar. I just said, I don't want to do that. And so can I just be graced out of it and like, you'll forgive me? To me, what I just said to him is, can I just skip crawling and just start walking? Can I just do it my way because I don't want to do this? Well, I'll tell you. When Charity was a baby, we worked at Southwestern, the seminary, and Assemblies of God. Don't anybody get scared, but we did. And grateful for the training, honestly. So we're there, and I worked with the dean of students' office and the vice president. I worked so Steve could get tuition free. And so anyway, I'm working, and so sometimes I would have Charity up with me. Well, the dean of students, Dr. Barnes, he would call himself Papa Doc to Charity because at that time he didn't have any grandkids. And he would just come to Papa Doc and whatever. Well, he had his doctorate in behavioral sciences and almost was like a psychologist. I guess he'd had enough hours. But anyway, so Charity went straight then. See that cut out on purpose? She went straight from sitting up. She would pull up and just take off walking. Okay? And Dr. Barnes, they were over at our house one night for a meal, and so she just stood up and took off. And he said, she shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, what? My child, she's advanced. She's, come on, you know. He's like, no. And this grown man in a suit got on the floor and started crawling. He said, come on. And he kept putting her down on all fours. I was like, why are you doing that? He said, because it's been proven that all the motor skills that are developing develop in crawling, not in walking. And so we all got on the floor, and we just started crawling. I'm not kidding. We were crawling up and down the hall. I was like, thank you for telling me that. And do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Sometimes we think we're smarter and better than God, and he knows what we need because it's developing something else that we don't even realize. Even today, she may be using skills that would have been missed, right? So, but these things keep me from trusting God. And anytime I can't trust God, really, guys, I'm calling him a liar. Because he says he's a good God. He says he'll never leave me or forsake me. He said that I'll never be hurled headlong. He says that he will always provide for me. He says that you've started eternity now, Gay. Every provision you need is going to be made. So if I don't believe that, that's the only time I get caught up in with the enemy's thoughts, subliminal thoughts. Well, why is that happening to you? So God's not good today? I'm not a good God. I can't turn this for good. Whatever he meant. So I got out of the picture and you're just suffering because I left you. Ooh. And then I'm like, ooh, I really hope I wasn't saying that. And he's like, yeah, you really were. So I want to read this other scripture to you tonight. Y'all, this phone just keeps texting and whatever. Anyway. This is out of 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read to you verse 58 and 59. Here we go, 58. So now, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season. Ready for the next line? How do we prosper and excel? By serving the Lord. That, if you want to prosper and excel, you're going to serve. You're not going to be served. You're not going to wait for the giant basket full of money from heaven. You're going to serve. And he says, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. I have so prayed that prayer for so many years, and now with this new translation, I've got it in black and white. I was praying his word. I said, God, today I want my work to be productive. Some of you probably heard me quote this. Just let my work be productive, and I want to have fruit to show for what I do for you. And he says, we know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. And I was like, I've been praying that prayer. And it was like, okay, you can take credit, but that was the Holy Spirit because he hears what I say, and he was just using you. And I'm like, oh, however it works, I'm so grateful. And I love it when God shows me that I'm in line with him and I'm not smart enough to have done that. I'm so grateful for the Lord. So I want you to know the fullness of beauty is yet to unfold. I didn't see no peacock strutting around the street, but I saw something I've never seen. And I truly believe that's what the Lord is saying to you tonight and to me that we have in common with Titus. We have yet to see some things that we've never seen before. But please don't say, oh, I've seen it all, or I'll never, you know. You're going to see some things. It's not too late, and it's not too early. God will bring it to you at the right time because we're going to have fruit that endures. Amen? So tonight, I just want to pray a prayer over you just to seal this word over you because we're going to continue to study in Titus. And I hope that it's something that is going to help us mature as we go through this. I want to be sure there isn't anything that I missed out that I had in my notes. That was the only other thing. I just felt like the Lord said to me when that peacock came out into the road, I will position what you need where you need it and when you need it. I will position what you need where you need it and when you need it. And that peacock came out, went in front of my car and went back. And I was like, do I need to call 911 on the peacock? Like, you know, what's going on here? But I know, okay, I know that God is saying to us, just keep looking and I'm going to show you some things. And I believe it's spiritual. And I believe in this room that we're going to see some things. God's going to be answering some prayers for us. And he's going to show us what it is we need, when we need it, and the way we need it, and he's going to provide the details. I'm watching God be detailed. And Cynthia's got a little piece of paper that she'll show you after service how the Lord provided for her and her grief for her sister and gave her scripture. She just said she's just cutting out scriptures, mad. You know, lost my sister I love. And every one of those scriptures, while she's cutting them, are meeting her need. And she just rewrote them and put them in a little book to show God's in the details. So, will you stand with me tonight? Lord, while we study, while we're coming together to learn your word, I'm just asking you right now, God, those of us who may feel inadequate, intimidated, or fearful, God, or Lord, we've been through things, people that has caused us to mistrust. Tonight, God, we just give you those things. We don't want that to be us with you. Lord, I want you to be able to give me tough assignments. Now, God, I know I can trust you to never give me more than I can handle. And I don't want to question that ever again and say, oh, the Lord said, but I don't know. Because I know you. You're developing motor skills in me for later so I can stand against adversity. Tonight, God, over everyone in this room, I pray your favor. Yeah. Because you've given it to us.